Friends, let us pray together. Guide us, O Lord, by your word and by your spirit, that in your light we may see light, and in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us listen now for God's word as it comes to us from Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 5, beginning at verse 14. Listen now for what the Spirit says to the church. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died, and he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Come, my joy, my love, my heart. Such a joy as none can move. Such a love as none can part. Such a heart as joys in love. Amen. For the love of Christ urges us on. For the love of Christ urges us on forward, never back. Christ is always out ahead of us. He goes before us. He summons us, entices us, pulls us, leads us ever deeper into something new. Didn't he tell his disciples, "After I am raised up, I will go ahead of you in Galilee"? And didn't the angel say to terrified women at the tomb, the first to witness resurrection, "Do not be afraid. He has been raised from the dead. He is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him." For the love of Christ urges us on. Now, this text in 2 Corinthians might seem like an odd text for Reformation Sunday, and for this service, giving thanks for 20 years of ministry together. On Reformation Sundays, we often look back to the needed reforms of the church in the 16th century. We celebrate Martin Luther. We sing, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." You know how much I love this Sunday. Twice have I been in Zurich for Reformation Sunday worship, once in Zwingli's church, and together we boldly sang Luther's hymn, "Ein fester Berg, ins ist unser Gott." Ein fester Berg, ist unser Gott, a mighty fortress is our God. It was amazing to hear all that voice, all those voices in German belting out this hymn. Today marks the 500th anniversary of the beginning of Reform in Zurich this weekend. We remember Calvin in Geneva and Knox in Edinburgh, but the Reformation also had a shadow side. The Reformers did some really terrible things to people. Just ask the Anabaptists. Just ask Christy Waltersdorf. She can tell you how bad we were to the Anabaptists. Christy often reminds me how bad we were to the Anabaptists. The Reformation split the church, and it continues to split and divide and tear asunder the body of Christ. So we have to be careful about sugarcoating the past. And I'm talking about myself here, as I can sometimes get lost in the past. I love history, as you know, and I can be nostalgic. Anticipating today's worship over the past couple of weeks have, to be honest, very emotional for me. I'm really grateful for the work that we have done together these 20 years, for the growth, for the challenges, the opportunities, the laughter, and some of the really zany things we did together and discovered together, like dead deer carcasses buried under the macadam out here. There's a good story behind that, which I'll have to tell you about. We lived through not one, but two capital campaigns, renovated this building, but more significantly, we helped build lives, cared for one another, helped one another, supported and tried to love one another into the reconciling love of God. I look back at all the baptisms at this font, watching children grow and develop and venture forth from these walls out into the world. I think of all of the weddings. And I think of the funerals, the people we said goodbye to. I pulled out the bulletin from my installation service in 1999 and was struck by the people no longer with us. John Schwartz, who chaired the search committee, Ed Roberts, Cherry Marshall, Lawson Brown. We are truly surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. As many ministers here know, it is truly a profound privilege to be a servant of the Word, to be an ambassador for Christ, however inadequate. Pastor, preacher, teacher, counselor, engaging in this ministry of reconciliation. And I look back and I remember and give thanks to God for God's grace and for the grace and the acceptance of this congregation, which I have felt and truly known. So I stand here feeling blessed and grateful. But Paul says, the love of Christ urges us on. Still, the love of Christ urges us on. We cannot stay where we are. We cannot go back. We move into the future ahead. That's where we meet Christ. As I have said to myself countless times walking on the Camino across Spain, and as countless times people have said back to me when I was tired, they said, Otrea, Otrea, an old Basque word that means onward, forward, keep moving. One more step, pilgrim, one more step, one more step. George MacLeod, the founder of the Iona community in Scotland, said that the Christian is always leaning into the future. That is our posture. We lean into the future. We lean with confidence and hope because the love of Christ urges us on. And because, as Paul knew personally, that around us and in us, within the world and around the world, right to the very core of our psyches, there is a new creation. Something has happened. Something is happening. I don't fully understand it. But I know it's true. There is a new creation. When I was in college, I read the sermons of theologian Paul Tillich, and I immersed myself in those sermons, those sublime sermons, and it was reading those sermons that I first sensed the call to preach. My own religious experiences resonated deeply with what he was pointing toward, and I knew that I had to be faithful to what I discovered. And I remember in one sermon, I was struck by these words, and I said, "This is it. This is it, right here, this is it." And words that continue to reverberate in my life. Tillich said, "We want only to communicate to you an experience that we have had, that here and there in the world, and now and then in ourselves, is a new creation, usually hidden, but sometimes manifest. But certainly manifest in Jesus, who is called the Christ." And what is this new creation? It's grace, and it's joy, and it's hope. It's forgiveness and reconciliation. It's personal transformation, the transfiguration of reality. It's justice and wholeness and restoration. It's the font of new beginnings. It's life where death once reigned. It's resurrection itself. And it's real, and it's happening. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. You see, everything has become new. A new creation, Paul said, is everything. And this new creation is not a static thing that happened a long time ago. It's more like a creating, a creatio continua, continually happening in each moment of our lives. For Christ is making all things new. This new thing is genuinely new. It's unprecedented, it's unexpected, it's unanticipated by either the past or the present. And thus, God is continually holding out for us an entirely different future, not by renegotiating our relationship to the past, but by doing something entirely, radically new. For the love of Christ is establishing a new order, not taking us back to a glorified, sometimes imagined past, but forward to someplace new. Sure, friends, history is great, but history, as we know, cannot save you. History is not redemptive. And for the person of faith, history is never, ever our destiny. And nostalgia has no place here whatsoever. We were never, ever called to go back to Eden, but forward into the new creation that God is bringing about in you and me. For remember, God placed an angel with a flaming sword to the east of Eden to make sure we never ever go back there. We cannot go back, for the new creation is before us. The new creation is changing the direction and meaning and purpose of our lives. And because it is grace, it's transforming our lives and granting a new future that is not the product of the past. And therefore, it is sheer gift and radically new. The love of Christ, friends, is urging us into new creation. And the love of Christ is urging the church into the new creation. Move there. Go there. The Swiss psychologist Carl Jung once said that the advocates of Christianity squander their energies in the mere preservation of what had come down to them, with no thought of building on their house and making it roomier. Can you imagine the church creating new rooms, becoming spacious, expansive, something new? Not static, not a museum, not a historical preservation society, but continually participating in that new thing that God is doing in the world, creating a space for us to live into that new creation for all people. Formed and reformed and always reforming by the Word, energized by the Spirit, we're sent out to witness that new creation. For the love of God urges us on, forward, always ahead of us, His love summoning us, enticing us, inviting us, pulling us, leading us ever deeper into the new creation. This is our work. This is our task. This is our vocation. Amen.